Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 2nd of April, recording at 9:18 p.m. That's British Summer Time. And first, the highlights in here today. Stock markets in Asia mixed. We had Japan, India, particularly India, and also Australia getting clipped. The others were mostly firm, and European stock markets, after a bit of two-way activity, closed mostly firm, although I noticed that the Swiss SMI was down a little bit, way down by the pharmaceuticals and the banks. The U.S. stock market indices closed not far off the highs of the day with quite modest gains, but that's a steadyish performance. Long-dated government bonds, these are bond prices, slightly firmer in the U.S., slightly easier in Europe. And they were a bit firmer in Japan. Also today, the U.S. dollar, now that's down a little bit in here. The U.S. dollar index is down 6 ticks. Euro dollar up 11 at 133.65. Slightly easier, the dollar slightly easier against the Swiss franc, but a quiet day, excuse me, here in currencies for sure. Crude oil seesawed a bit and is currently trading down 22 cents on the day at 65.65. That's been a pretty firm performance overall, as you know. And gasoline, again, these seem to have lost a little bit of momentum here. These energy contracts lost a little bit of upside momentum, down $1.75 on that gasoline. The precious metals, now they got clipped, particularly silver, earlier today. Silver fell quite sharply. And this is going from a close on Friday, which had been at 1345, and falling down to 1302. And before bouncing back, it's currently trading at 1332. Similarly, gold fell fairly sharply, nowhere near as sharply as silver, but got down to 665.65 and is currently 663.60. That's almost unchanged on the day. Platinum, similar action, but only closing down, well, 5.8 on the day. The spillover selling that we saw on Friday, led by corn on that big acreage report, pushed corn down to the 20 cent limit for much of the day, and then it closed a quarter point off that. The stronger performance by far was in soybeans, which rebounded, closing up nearly 18 cents. And what else to mention here? Sugar, a little bit soft. That's been drifting lower recently. Most of the industrial metals were a little bit, excuse me, a little bit firmer, including nickel. And I think those are pretty much the highlights. Okay, well, what's going on here overall? As far as stock markets are concerned, the easy bit is to say that with most of these stock market indices near the higher side of their range and none really pressuring the lows, six that among the ones that most interest us, by us I mean myself and Owen at Fuller Money and I think a fair number of subscribers. Only India is testing those lows. India had a bad day, as I mentioned at the beginning. It was down over 500 points on the Sensex index, and that was, I think, certainly over 3%, nearly 4%. And one of the main reasons for that is that I think after the close on Friday, there was another interest rate hike, and that really hit the banking sector in India particularly hard, not surprisingly. But most other stock markets have been ranging in a fairly firm fashion overall. And in terms of the big picture, I maintain that this is a mean reversion relative to the 200-day moving averages best seen on their weekly charts. It's something I'm talking about practically every day as I do these audios, and that I illustrate from time to time. Now, could those lows be retested? Well, yes, they could during nervous market conditions, and that's already happening with India, although India, being one of the higher beta markets, had begun to peak a little bit earlier, and we've also seen perhaps a more aggressive policy on the part of the central bank in India than we have in most other countries. So India, at the moment at any rate, is atypical rather than typical. Most other stock markets in Asia and in Europe and in North America and Central America are considerably firmer and near the higher side of their overall trading ranges, and some, such as China, had pushed up out of those ranges, and not only that, but pushed above, clearly above their highs that they'd seen around the 27th of February, and extended those gains. Again, this leads me to conclude that this is mainly a mean reversion move towards the 200-day moving averages. But against this background, when the U.S. economy is slowing and when people are worrying about contagion spreading from the subprime area into the broader U.S. housing sector and affecting consumer spending, and possibly even extending overseas, hitting other property markets in countries such as the UK and Ireland and Australia, to mention a few, we don't want to be complacent. I certainly don't want to be complacent in here. But the technical signal that would be negative would really be to see some downward dynamics in the U.S., and to see those indices move back down to test and break the early March lows. Now, they've got some breathing space above those levels, as you know, so that does not look imminent if it's going to happen at all. But all I'm saying is that were we to see that type of action, then I would start assuming fairly quickly that the ranging reactions that we've been seeing to date are going to morph into something bigger along the lines of a medium-term correction. Hardly the end of the world, but it would mean profit erosion on most existing portfolios, and then, of course, better buying opportunities as that correction played itself out. But at the moment, we have this overall somewhat firmer tone. Now, government bonds, there's nothing alarming in the action of government bond yields at this stage, but if we look at the action that we've seen in Australia in Europe, the action there, we've seen prices sag back to their lows that they had seen a couple of months earlier. And we have also, so in other words, they've given up the gains that were scored from the point of that February 27th sharp reaction. And we've also seen those U.S. bond prices drifting down as well. So yields pushing up. But the type of sharp spike in government bond yields, which we have seen previously from time to time, and that I think would pose a serious risk to global stock markets, that is certainly not evident, and I don't expect it against the background of the news that we currently have. In terms of the U.S. dollar, basically a soft currency, I think it's going to continue to quietly range lower overall. Remember, we see mostly ranging, and there are a lot of central banks out there that do not want to see the U.S. dollar moving much lower, or if they accept that it is going to go lower, as I think most do, They want that to be a gradual decline and can help to make it so through their dealing policies. But I do think we will see that softer dollar, and that is supportive to well, U.S. multinational companies. It's also supportive to precious metals, although they had a bad day in here today. And it is also a support factor for some of these commodity prices, which are being have been roiled here in the last few days as well. The other generally weak currency, which I expect to stay generally weak, is the Japanese yen. It doesn't offer a yield to entice investors. And a lot of people are saying how oversold the yen is. Well, that may be the case, but the Japanese want it to stay oversold. And so they're not going to be raising interest rates, and therefore holding the yen is expensive. And equally, those same policymakers, as I've mentioned on many other occasions, were so scarred by the experience of Ndaka, the strong Japanese yen, that they are determined not to let that happen again. And if a country wants to keep its currency generally weak, it can do just that. Keep the interest rates low and print more of the stuff. And that's what the Japanese have been doing. And what else to mention here? Global growth is sufficiently strong to underpin these industrial metals. They continue to do well, and the shares that mine them, that produce these metals, continue to do well in here. And the only thing that I can see undermining that relative strength would be if we get a sharp sell-off in global stock markets generally, and then we would see most things falling. But right now, we still have that global economy, the global economy, synchronized in a period of GDP expansion. That's despite the weakness of the U.S. economy at present. And the demand for these metals remains extremely strong, stronger than most people have forecast. And I think that more people are gradually coming around to the floor money view here, that the mines are less cyclical than they have been in previous decades, and they're really more growth stories today. And as growth stories go, they are on exceptionally attractive valuations. Crude oil, I think I mentioned that that's lost a little bit of its upside momentum here. At a guess, there are probably $2 or $3 worth of Iranian fears regarding the tensions there in the Middle East over the U.S. I beg your pardon, the U.K. Navy personnel who were seized and are still being held. But usually, if you have a one-off item such as that affecting the market, that unless that situation is actually deteriorating, and I don't think it is, it's moving well, it's still on the front pages here in the UK, but unless that situation actually deteriorates, rhetoric is ratcheted up and so forth, then I think it has a diminishing influence overall. So we could see oil dip back a little bit and just range and consolidate near current levels. In terms of the big picture, oil prices I think are going considerably higher over the next number of months and years. And I think that's pretty much it here for this first market day in April. So I'll just say all the best to all of you.